solution was that the and then again, like I said, the most important that when you have the true idea of death, I mean, all the truth, especially if not the correct notion of the creator, for them, they both work.
Second day of the bond.
But the second day is your benefit, by sending another way to make it just in the left on the second day. But the first day is really your tenant, not the second day. So how can you say in the spirit on the second day that God is judging the world? If the world spoke to be normal, if it's spoke to be normal, so the concept over there is like all of the younger children, you don't know. So you say, okay, you don't know. So therefore, that's really as if it is the real gift, not concept you want. But Rosh Hashanah, no one says it's spoke to be normal. It's not a question of But all the steps of Tachanah, very complicated Tachanah, that created the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. But basically, the second day is an extension of the first day. That's what it means. What does it mean by Yom HaRosh? I just want to explain what it means by Yom HaRosh. Everybody gets confused. It says Yom HaRosh, a long day. And then some people like rock on the bottom of the fire. Chakras is Yom HaRosh. You know what I mean? And she just got one chakras, and then maybe the next day got another one. So, people get very confused by Yom HaRosh. Yom HaRosh is really not a mystery. Yom HaRosh is a technical term. What it means, all it means is the halachic term. It doesn't really mean a long day. Okay? Because again, no matter how long it is, it doesn't have two sunrises and two sunsets. Okay? What it means is that the Chachamim has to have a mechanism through which they could introduce halachic changes. We have a right to introduce halachic changes, but it has to work with a certain mechanism. It has to be within a certain framework, okay? They can't just introduce anything they want. So one framework, they could use a suffix. There is a concept of suffix, so they could use that framework. There is a suffix, and therefore we say that the first suffix has to be both ways different. That's one more concept. But Yom HaRosh is the second type of a, is not a concept. It means that the Chachamim go to extend our halachic reality. They could take a day and give it an extension. So the span of time of the original Rosh Hashanah is 1 day. They could say it spans over 2 days. They have a right to do that. Yom HaRosh is just a technical attempt. It doesn't really mean a long day. It means it's an extension process. That's one of the methods that the Chachamim can use. They use it in a lot of areas. Like, for instance, you say that really, according to the Torah, the only buffer, if you consider buffer, is really an animal, or a behemoth. Okay, cattle, sheep, goats, but not their fowl, and not birds. Okay, so really, according to the Torah, a bird is not buffer. So really, according to the Torah, really, you put chicken and milk, no problem. But the Chachamim extend the concept, and extend it. Now they take the term basar and they extend it. So the Chachamim has a right to it. Many halachas of Chachamim do that. So when you say Yom HaRosh, it doesn't even mean a long day. It's not a descriptive term. It's a term that is a halachic mechanistic term. Okay? So I just wanted to clear that up.
Could
I
explain why you have to change
it
from Rosh
Hashanah
to another
day? Yes, that's correct. That's exactly what it means. You went to shame in Rosh Hashanah, you can't treat like you went to shame in other number. Basically, the only difference between went to shame and went to Rishon, ordinarily the most essential difference, I mean, there's two different questions, as far as tours and mace, but practically the difference is insofar as medicine is concerned. Medication. Can't take medication on Yom Kippur, but the second day Yom Kippur you can take it on. But on Rosh Hashanah you don't say that because it's not a sfeika d'yoma, it's an extension. But an extension has to partake of the same quality. That's the basic idea. Then there are other halachas which have to be spoken in, which have to be intrinsically the idea of a suffix, like Eruv and things like that. You have to make Eftashun on Wednesday. You can't do it on Thursday anymore. That's not a sfeika d'yoma. Whereas the following week, the 2 weeks later, you can do it because it's a sfeika d'yoma, it's a suffix. So, but that's because of the concept of suffix. But at any rate, the term of Yom HaRosh is Allah. So you have to be familiar with Allah category. Now, but getting back to the other question, doesn't answer the other question. But how could it be? It could be it's an expansion, but still it's Rabban. So the real day that it writes there is only the first day. Rabban. So the Chacham can extend it insofar as creating Isim Allah. But how could it be misfiled the second day that God was judging you in order to kill us, and being the spoil for the judgment, Zohar Bris and Tzkab Shofar, all those killers, as if this is all the sign of Tokus, we say the second day, just like the first day. How can you say that? If that's not really happening, so how can you do it? And then it will be Tzkab Shofar. The worst thing is to say lies. Okay. So that's the second question. Apparently, otherwise it's not happening any day, so you wouldn't say at all. Well, I mean, if you're going to get into that, so you're going to say there's no such thing as judging. Yeah. So the... yes, what? Yeah, but it's different. But Rosh Hashanah is different than Assessment Chuva. See, Rosh Hashanah is the what is one of the says that Rosh Hashanah that's a beacon on the throne of Alta Lachaim. Okay, that the and Rosh Hashanah is when they send the Bailey is Tola. But the din of Rosh Hashanah is a unique kind of a din, and the din is that there's no Malkiyus Sechonus and Shofros on the second day. Those tefillos would not apply; would not be applicable. The Zardin on the first day is a totally different thing. Zardin. I mean, the Sana Tokus would be totally would be forced. Insofar as being the first one being told, but there's no Yom HaDin, the second day of assessment two is not a Yom HaDin. It's not a Yom HaDin at all.
The Chum can't decree that God be judged another day. Right?
Where one of the Chum had a different
Right.
So it ended up that the way that some Hedgehog made one Kippur was the
Yom HaDin. Well, that's correct. But that doesn't answer this question. The Sanhedrin have a right to make it. Sanhedrin have a right to determine when the Kippur is, and the way they determine that's the reality of it. But the point is, they can't make Kingdom Kippur. And they can't change the reality of God's judgment. So that's the second question. Now what I wanted to say was that it's extremely important to have a correct notion when we speak about God. As a matter of fact, the Rambam says that Milchus Tshuva, so the Rambam states that the shofar, even though the shofar is a technical mitzvah, but he says nevertheless there is a concept which is associated with it, intrinsically, and that concept is the idea that a person should be chozer b'tshuva, and that's the Rambam is in Perek Gimel Milchus Tshuva is Halacha Dalet. Where he says, even though it's a Gerasa Pasuk, which means it's a technical halacha, but Remez Yeshba, there is a hint or an idea that is associated with it. Kloma means to say, Uri Yishen Yishimaskim, and Yadamim Yitzim Yitzimakagamaskim, the Chipsid Masechim, the Chipsid Bechiva, and you should investigate your actions and be involved in the process of introspection, and then you should be close with Chiva, the Zichru Bo Echem. And remember, remember your Creator. Okay. So the Rambam says that the shofar really is something which brings to mind the person before the Tshuva, but he says Zichru Barachem. You have to remember your Creator. So apparently the idea of the creators is the central theme. I mean, the Chozer Tshuva and Zichru Barachem. So therefore, a person must know must know, must have an accurate idea, correct notion about who, what it means by the Creator. So I mentioned that the Stephen Weinberg was a Nobel Prize physicist, and talks about God, so he says that for him, the only meaning of God would be God is a personal God. God intervenes in the laws of nature for the benefit of a person or mankind or in some way. Otherwise, he says the notion of God has no meaning. So he argues and says, so what does it mean more than the fact that there is an order and a harmony? Because all of science is based on that assumption. There's no order, there's no harmony, there's nothing to study anymore. But science is based on the assumption that there is some kind of an intellectual harmony. Harmony which is of an intellectual nature can be grasped by the mind, and the mind is a tool which will be able to unravel it. And that's why you spend time thinking about it. If you don't have that premise, there's nothing to think about. So he says, but why do I need more than that? All I have to do is say there's an order. And he says, I don't understand what when Einstein says there's a God, he says, to me, this means there's an order. And there's nothing more than that. So we have to, I wouldn't suggest that people are ready to investigate the existence of God, proofs, because that requires a high level of intellectual development and a high level of knowledge of Torah and of philosophy and other areas. But everybody's not capable of doing that. But certainly everyone should have the correct notion of what we mean by God. That's certainly something. If you don't have that, then what are we going to fight for? There's no battle. So that's something which everyone should be concerned about. And you may not be able to be better with not the courage. You have to know what you mean. There's no excuse not to understand what you're talking about. And God may be unknowable, but it shouldn't be unknowable what your idea of God is. Then that's just confusion. So the idea of God is unknowable. But the point is that it shouldn't be, your understanding shouldn't be unknowable. Then you have no understanding. And most people, I think, just feel that not necessary, and just going on with the value. So I thought that this question was a good platform upon which to give an answer. So, first of all, what Yahada says is, of course, there's an order. There's no question about that. There's an order, there's a beauty, there's a harmony, that's true. But we say that there is a source of this harmony and order. Okay. And we say this source is the Chayah Olam, the living God. So we believe in the living God, and the other nations believe in dead gods. So it's dead because they're non-existent. So what do we mean by the living God? I mean, the Chayah Olam, the life of the universe. So what does it mean? So life, I mean, as we know, is a biological phenomenon. Obviously, it can't apply the idea of life to God. Our idea of life is a very controlled biological process, part of a larger process, but it's a temporary state, and it's a biological phenomenon, inapplicable to the Creator. So what do we mean when we say life, that God is a higher element? So I said this way, if you take a look at the Rambam, and I did this Rambam here. So in the very beginning of the Rambam, so he says, Yisori, Yisori, Rambam HaFakmat, Leida Shiyishon Motzi Yishon, Vuhu Mamtzi Komenta. In other words, what we're saying is, we ascribe life to God in the sense that he is the Mamtzi Komenta. He's the one that is the source, the cause of all existence. The cause of all existence. Okay, he is uncaused, nothing caused him or causes him or affects him, but he is the primary matzah rishon, he's a primary existence, and he is the cause of all existence. So when you see life, the difference in life, the animate and inanimate, is that the animate has motion, moves in some sense. I mean, it moves itself. I mean, it's an animal, moves itself, propels itself along. A rock can't propel itself. So life, when we say life, the idea of a self-moving object comes to mind. Okay, motion, in some sense. So in that sense, we ascribe life to God. Not in any sense that we're familiar with, but in the concept, in the abstract notion that God is the Mantikomensar. He is what the philosophers said, the primal. Philosophers are right. Primal. That's the idea. That's the idea of God. Mantikomensar, the source of all existence. And if I suggested that when the person says Kriyat Shema, and they say so some say that you should have in mind that he is the eternal one. But I believe the Rambam held that that's not enough. Because the Rambam uses the very same pasuk when he talks about this, talks about God. And then he says, this God is one, and not more than one, and cannot be broken up into components, etc. And he says, and that's what we mean. We say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. We mean this God is one, okay? He's not subject, basically, to the laws of quantum, or to the concepts of quantum. So he identifies as that is the God that he's talking about. So therefore, it would seem from the Rambam, at least, that when a person says the Kriyat Shema, they have to have that idea in mind. He is the source of all existence. That's the concept. If you don't have that idea in mind, you'll see the point of the Rambam. But you wouldn't really fulfill the mitzvah of Krishna. That's the first person that God have wanted. So therefore, I think it's extremely important for a person before they enter Yom Kippur to have an idea of the Creator. And of course, to know, as the Rambam says, that there never is any change in God. So this being the case, the question arises. What does the Rambam say to this? The Rambam says that a person should do tshuva. Tshuva is much more beneficial during the during this time between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. He says that in Parak Beis. He says that after tshuva, tzaka yafal alam. It's always good. Basar hayamim shebein Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur yafal biyosa miskabalsi miyat. You can search for God when he's available, so to speak. When he's close to you. That's only privately, but a tzibor calls mine shalosim tshuva tzarkin b'leg shalem. Is it they do tshuva and they cry out with a tzibor that they have a good, sincere heart? Amen. Shememar kadosh b'shem elokeinu b'chol karim ava. Okay. So the question is, what does it mean, Bir Shashem be Matzo? God is more available now and less available at another time. So he's closer now, and then he moves away from us. Now, what the Rambam means is, tshuva really is a mitzvah that a person should do all the time. So it's part of the growth process of the human personality. It's not like gay and mob will think a type of a confession or some type of a guilt trip. There's nothing to do with that. There's an early notion. Our idea of tshuva is being tzaddik bar tshuvas tov lo yachol. Even a tzaddik, he sings during the daytime, but then when he gets home and he thinks about it, he does tshuva. So tshuva is part of a growth, ongoing growth process. But the fact is that the human personality is such that anything which is common, which is done on a daily basis, loses its significance. It cannot be highlighted every day. So Yahada saw fit to take an aspect of life, which is really the most important, which is tshuva, and to ascribe a time to it, okay? Give it a certain time where a person must concentrate on that particular process. And that is between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, okay? Now, what the Torah is saying is, that if people do that, you see, so then, and the society does it, so it affects everybody in the society. And it places them in a totally different plane. Because of that, God is who is a Merachim, who is the Avarachim. So therefore, when God judges a person, he judges a person in the most opportune moment for the person. So when is the most opportune moment for the person? when a person is dedicated in himself and is engaged in the process of repentance, in the process of tshuva. So it is the person's state which actually brings about the fact that there is a difference between Aseres and Tshuva and between the rest of the year. Okay? It's a change in the person. And I think that's exactly why the Torah never described Rosh Hashanah. If the Torah would describe Rosh Hashanah, people would walk away with false notions, false ideas, and it would be a worse disaster. Because people would think that the first day of the year, now God gets ready and judges the world, but now it's the first day. But God is outside the realm of time. And anyone thinks that God is affected by time is not the Torah's purpose. The person that comes to shul in Rosh Hashanah has an idea that today God decides to judge the world because he's involved in the realm of time and then it's the first day of the year. That's not the person. The Torah avoided putting this, any type of description to the Yom HaDin because it knew that that's the most dangerous thing. It left it closed. It only said one thing. It said Yom Tshuva Yelachem. Yom Tshuva Yelachem, which means this is a time when you should be involved in Tshuva, in the ideas of the Kol Shofar. And if you're involved in the, if it's a Yom Tshuva for you, then that's why it's a day of judgment. It's a Yom HaDin. Because of the Kedushas HaYom, because the person is involved in the ideas of the Torah, because of the mitzvah, that's why it's the Yom HaDin, because that makes it a special day where God judges man, because God, in his infinite chesed, judges the person in the most opportune time for the person. And the Yom Tshuva is what brings it about. And that's why the din is on that day. You see? It's not the din is on that day because of God. The din is on that day because of man. And that's why, what Jesse mentioned, I mean, the fact is, you see, the Bezdin really is called the Chodesh. So Bezdin depends on Rosh Hashanah. I mean, Bezdin depends on God's first judge. That's crazy. Bezdin only determines the Kedushas HaYom. God judges man when man is involved in this type of Kedushas HaYom. So that's why, even though the Halachim of the Rabbanan was, that's why the Torah is not mentioned. I see the Ramban says there are many deep ideas here, and the Torah saw fit to really to keep these ideas away from the masses. So they can't go into these ideas, because if the Torah would have expressed itself in any way, the masses would get a wrong idea. This way the masses just don't want to know. I'm sure there's something here, something in this video. You have to go and learn what's going on from the coming of Chachamim. So this way, the system is safeguarded and no false ideas is promulgated. But if the Torah would give a description, everybody would walk away with their own imagination. And imagination would be false, and therefore all the tools are worthless. So that's what they did. But once the Torah really said that the Yom Tshuva is really the day of judgment, so it means the Yom Tshuva Yelachem, because this is a day in which you are engaged in the whole world that produces the Yom. So then if the Chachamim come along and extend it, an extension of the Chachamim is a legitimate extension and it's recognized by the Torah. Because the Torah gave the Chachamim the right to use the halachic mechanisms in various ways. Al-Piyah Torah Shiruha. And that's why, as the Shalaji used to say, that the Rabbanim is really a derisive. It's just the violation doesn't carry the same seriousness. Okay, but as a reality, it's the same reality because the Torah said, I'll never write to do it. So therefore, the fact that Rosh Hashanah is 2 days because the Chodesh Chachamim is a reality in terms of the Torah, the derisive. And therefore, since the Chachamim extended the period, so man is involved in the Kedushas HaYom for a longer time, so the judgment does not. It has to do with the fact that Rosh Hashanah is the only month that's the first day of the month. So the first day, so Adam can come on the day itself and say today's Rosh Hashanah. So what they used to do was they keep the Kodesh just in case they didn't come. You know? And the problem was that with the Shir and the Korban. Adam can go late And the Midrash was broken up from him, and so he was soul, and it really was fake. So he said, from now on, it's a very practical, it's just a thing. Just being wise at all, that right, isn't it? But that, by the way, insofar as today is Rosh Hashanah and Eretz Yisrael, it's my focus on Shem. We pass from this to this, but the Bala Mora is that we're going to wonder in Eretz Yisrael. That's one day, it's good to be a good place. Because in Eretz Yisrael, we have my focus on Shem. Okay, at any rate. That's the whole concept of the Hadas. That's where your Hadas is totally differentiated itself from all the other religions, including today's religions. I would say today's religions are more primitive philosophical than some of the ancient Avodah Zarah. So at any rate, what I wanted to say was now that we have this introduction, so to speak, I would like just speak briefly about the Kedushas Hayom, what's responsible for the judgment. So I'd like just speak briefly about the Kedushas Hayom. The Kedushas Hayom is really the Malchus of Ronis and Shafos. Okay, and where is the Malchus of Ronis and Shafos come from? So Rashi says that's what the Torah means by Zichron Chura. Zichron, remembrance of Chura, which means the Malchus of Ronis and Shafos. Because Chazal say that Malchus is, but God says, "Inu l'chonai malchios, shetamichuni aleichem." The God says, "You should make me reign over you, be your king." And zechronos, in order today, sheyale zechronechem l'chonai, that your remembrance should come forth before me. And it says, "Bameh," with what? The shofar. So the shofar is the instrument, the vehicle. You see, the vehicle of the zikah. Yeah. So the what I'd like to speak about is just the idea of the of shofars. It's very interesting. The idea of shofars, the concept of shofar, is really based on, can best be explained in raising a question from the Rambam. Because the Rambam says that there are certain sins that if a person does, and namely four, that they are so great that if a person engages in these sins, that God does not permit him to be tshuva. In a kodesh baruch hu, literally means in a kodesh baruch hu must put the other lasas tshuva. God does not make it, does not give him the availability to do tshuva. And these four sins, it mentions the four person that's machdias rabim, that makes the general popular sin, or a person that privately has a close friend that he incites to go against the Torah, or someone who sees their son going off on the wrong path and doesn't want to get in a fight with him, just lets him go. And the fourth is the person that says, I'll do a verism, and Yom Kippur, I'll do tshuva. Okay. But the Rambam says at the end, he says, even though, even though that prevents tshuva, only moment or so, it doesn't really prevent it. It retards the process. I mean, it impedes. It impedes the tshuva, but it doesn't prevent the tshuva. Elohim asa adam tshuva mehen, ha-reza bal tshuva, yeshecha gom abach. That's the tshuva from his sins, he still is bal tshuva. So the question is, what does that mean? God doesn't give him he's not maspik yara, doesn't give him the ability to tshuva, and yet he can do tshuva. He can do it, ma'akev, it's a, what is the Rambam saying? So, what we want to say is like this, that what the Rambam means is that see, there's a chazan that says that they ask the midas ha'emes. They ask the midas ha'emes, what is the fate of a person who's a chazan, sinner? The midas ha'emes says, nefesh ha'fatah ha'emes. The soul that sinned should die. And midas ha'rachamim said, no. And we should do tshuva. The tshuva has to do with Israel. So the question is, why should MS really say that the person should die? You know, the person does tshuva is a logical idea. It means, if I sinned and I change my ways and I change my personality, I'm not the same at the rise, I'm not the same personality I was before. So why should I be punished for something that I'm not? I mean, God just wants to punish me with my history? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. The person is the person really is really has changed, you see, so you should judge the person as the person is. So why did Emma say that the person that sinned should die? Okay? So I want to say that the Chazal tell us that the Yisod of Tshuva, Moshe Rabbeinu came down with one sin. And the last Dibros, the last one passing. And came down with the Yisod of Tshuva. But apparently Tshuva is some mystery about Tshuva, the Yisod, a principle which is not something that on the surface you would at first sight be aware of. That's what the Yisod always means. So the Sora Tshuva means that there's something there, secret, means something that you don't at first sight see. So the Sora Tshuva is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, see, Ram says, Enoch HaKadosh Baruch Hu must fit together, doesn't make it available to him. It means that really there's always an ongoing process of Hashkach. But God always does make it available for the chote to sin. That's what Chazal say. Why is it Hashem, Hashem? Hashem means, it says Hashem, Hashem before the chote, and he's Hashem after the chote. It means to say that when a person is a chote, God doesn't simply remove himself from the individual. But on the contrary, that's what the person says, Adyo Moshe Techatalov. God waits for the person that sins until he dies. In Yashuv, in loving sense, in Yashuv, God waits for the good tshuva. What does it mean? What does God waits for the good tshuva? It means that God works out the events in his life that they should be of the type that will somehow or other signal the individual to do tshuva. If he has a sensitivity for it, if he listens for it, if he looks for it. So really what God does is God places the person where we all live in a sea of events, and the events that take place in our lives, we can either simply, put on blinders and not look at them, or we could study them from the standpoint of how they affect us and what message there is in the events in terms of perfecting ourselves. So what Chazal is saying is that God is constantly making it available for the chote to do tshuva. But if a person does these four things, then God doesn't love him much. No more there. That's a imaspikin yero lashta. God does not give him availability. But the Rambam says if he does do tshuva, then he's 100% and he's a ben olam haba. What does it mean? It means God does not go into his mind and stop his bechira. His free will is still intact. Just no extraneous events are going to be placed before him that would cause him to be about you. But God does not prevent him psychologically. You see, he doesn't prevent his psyche, his soul, from being true. Okay? Not like Paro. So since God doesn't, so he can still pull himself up by his bootstraps and do you. But that is a gargantuan feat. Very few people that went through this world did such a thing. Most people, as they, if they have a tzlach and keep going, they're not going to stop getting their tracks and some one day wake up and say, what people are doing? Very rare. Very rare. That's what the Rambam says. So what the Rambam means is that God, through his hashgacha, you see, follows the chote and gives him opportunities to be a shah. Okay? Unless he engages in these four chatayim, then he doesn't. Okay. Yes. No, that's a good question. It means God does not, I'll show you why I said that. The question was raised, is it anything or these four? It seems to be anything. I'll explain to why I think that. But anyway, okay. So the concept is like this. The concept is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's really the idea of Hashkach. That's really the idea of Hashkach. And that's an interesting thing. On Rosh Hashanah, we say in the Tfilis and the Chronos, we say, Zehayom Tfilis Masechah. This is the day of the first day of your handiwork, the first day of creation. And also, we have to show up and say, Hayom HaRasalam. Okay. Today means today, the world is created. So the question is, why do you say that why do you say Rosh Hashanah is the first day of creation? So the Gemara says, because we have like a philosophy. My purpose was the world created in Tishrei, or was it Nisan? So we are like a philosophy, it was created in Tishrei, so we say Hayom HaLasam. But everything, like everything else in Chazal, when you look at it a little more carefully, it just doesn't fit into what we're saying. But the truth of the matter is that they say it was from Pirkei Avos. And Rabbi Elazar said, he didn't say the first day of creation was Rosh Hashanah. No, he said Rosh Hashanah was the sixth day of creation. The day that man was created. It's not the day of the Big Bang. Okay? So it's a little different. And then already you see that something's wrong. It's not even there. So what does it mean? It happened to be the sixth day. It sounds like a funny kind of day. But and then there's another problem. The problem is, according to Rabbi Yeshua, he's missing part of his tefillah. Because if he's supposed to say, that's an integral part of davening, so what would Yeshua do? I mean, he held the war with David and Nisan. All right? Maybe he's missing part of his tefillah. So, and if it's not integral, so what are you saying it for anyways? Well, who cares his day of creation? So what? So I believe the answer is probably. See, the concept of shofar is the concept of God's revelation. God's revelation. And the truth of the matter is that Yahadis holds a very strange shita that no one else even thought of, basically. And that is that the ultimate revelation is the creation. The Bria itself is the ultimate revelation. The Bria is God revealing himself. But when did God reveal himself? When? Exactly. Because revelation means to someone. That's the recipient of the revelation. Okay? There's no revelation if there's no one to receive that which is revealed. So that was the sixth day. That was on the sixth day. That's why you say, Adon Olam, Asher Molach, B'Terem Kol Yitzir Nevi. God existed before man. Okay? Leis Nasa B'Chatzo Kol, when the world was created, Azan Melech Shema Nikra, then we had the appellation of Melech. Who's man, then you said, God is the Melech. Okay? But it's always the same, there's no change. It's just specific man. So therefore, what Yahadis holds is that the real revelation is the Bria. And Yahadis went so far, Hazal went so far with that idea, that they basically wiped out miracles. Because they said that miracles were all from Sheshit and Ebrahim. And the strangest thing, I mean, anyone that wants to get people to believe in religious ideas, the first thing they tell them is miracles. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. The little miracle. Because man finds out in a state where they like things to be different than they are. So they're looking for a miracle. Okay? And Yahadis really put itself in a position where any kind of popularity is removed from the system because it doesn't appeal to a religious person. But Yahadis says, no, all these miracles really were implanted in the creation, the first moment of creation, all these things were programmed in. Okay? So why does the others have to say that? Why? And what happens with the other? The answer is because Yahadis maintains that if miracles would be a real change, that means God would be taken away from the real revelation. Real revelation is the Bria. That's the real revelation. And the miracle is just as well. All the miracle does is it points gives you direction. Look for the real revelation, which is the creation. The creation was the real revelation. When did God reveal himself? The moment he gave man at Tzelem Elokim that he can perceive the Chochmas Hashem, he can perceive the order. The order that the scientists based the whole science on was man was able to get insight, be in a position where he could avail himself of the stuff. So that's why Yahadis said really, there's a miracle would be improper. That would mean that God would be giving more importance to a transient event than to the whole creation. So therefore, that would be, that takes away from the whole idea of God. So the whole idea of God is that his infinite chachma is of a permanent nature, and therefore, on the contrary, the greatness of the Creator is that everything was pre-programmed into the creation. Many events that took place in history were really basically from the moment of creation. An interesting thing. That's clear. So that's what Chazal held. So it's counter religious intuition. Exactly the opposite. So yes. A miracle would mean that God is fighting, changing the laws of nature. So now he's going against his whole creation. And now this one thinks he does. He doesn't do that. So I had his miracle take place. He adjusted the creation process so that certain things should take place, certain things programmed into the whole system. Okay. So the Rambam talks about Rambam in a slightly different position, but basically that's really the approach of that. But at any rate, as a matter of fact, even though it's pre-programmed, it's still considered a lowering insofar as God is concerned. But Chazal say, well, a way not to love the other way. Neither was you read very well. But you had to make a change in the time for one for that, but we didn't do that. It would be different. So it was an adjustment. Even the adjustment is considered somewhat of a lessening, a lowering of the Bria, of the creation. So really, okay, so the truth of the matter is that Shofros, what is Shofros? Shofros is Yinu Shchuna, Atan Iglesor, Banan Klodecha, Allah Sina. That's the third, the third bracha, that we have Malchios, and referring to Shofros. So Malchios really is recognition of God because of the creation. Adonai Olam Hashem Malach, the term called Yitzir Nivra. Reis Nasa Lechatzakol Azay, Malach Shemani. That means that's a devil, that's creation. And the Malchus is really the ultimate goal, actually, that's what it means. It means in the Lachonai Malchus. Why Shetan was Lachonai Lachonai? But Baneh, the shofar. The shofar is a vehicle. Why? Because the shofar really, what does the shofar do? The shofar shows revelation, because Gimel Shchina, it takes the greatest. That's what Maamar. That's why Maamar Asina is non-Russian. Why Maamar Asina is Russian? Sure, but the answer is because if you're using an instance of God's Chesed in terms of revealing Himself to us in order to be Malamed us, in order to teach us, and that's what it does. Really, you're looking at two. I mean, that's one. Davri Meshmar Shvatam Kol Lecha. Everywhere in the field is very carefully chosen because the Nevi'im really were involved in forming the field. Why? That was Chesed Hashem to teach us, instruct us. So you take the greatest instance of revelation and the most potent force in terms of God's chesed in extending his chesed and being a malame, being a teacher of Klal Yisrael. And that was that's the event at the Sinai. So that's shofar. That's shofar. So shofar, really, that's the same idea as mentioned before. That God did that. God did that in splendorous fashion in terms of our Sinai, but for every Yochid he's also his Ashgach extends to every Yochid. And maybe it's not a Maamar Sinai event, but it's part of the concept of Ashgach. So the part of the concept of Ashgach is, that's the idea of the shofar, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu reaches man. You see, that's a midas arah, what we refer to as the attribute of rachamim. He has no attributes, but we refer to it that way because it's for us, it's an easy kind of a reference. But the And what it means is that that is Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he actually, even if it means changing something in the programming of the universe in order that man should be able to avail himself of Chachma, so he does that. So he also changes the events in an individual's life in order that the person should be able to be a shofar. So that's one aspect of the that is one aspect of the shofar. The other aspect of the shofar is that the shofar is a crying sound. Crying sound implies tshuva. As the Rambam says, that the person does tshuva is boche. The person that really understands what chet is, so he sees how far he's deviated, is the worst tragedy. To realize the state of the soul. So it's worse than even if a person would have a serious physical illness. So it requires the chet. That's the kol shofar. So the kol shofar really has both aspects of tshuva. One is insofar as the sound, yata shemeya kol shofar, mazin tshuva v'ein damalach. That means that God listens to the balchi, you see. But also shofar means that God moves towards the chote and assists him and places before him situations that he can exercise his bechira in terms of being a shah and being a baal tshuva. You see, so both aspects of tshuva, which is insofar as God is concerned and insofar as man is concerned, is expressed in shofar. That's why it says, "Imu l'cholim malchio shetam l'chuni alechem k'dei sheyale zechonechem l'chanai u'bameh b'shofar." The shofar is the vehicle, but the vehicle really always goes back to the original process, which is the central. What is the original process? Malchus. Malchus is the creation. Malchus is the creation. The revelation through the creation. The Eda Kol Pol Kiyata Fiyata, the Yelim Kol Yotzer Kiyata Yitzarka. That's the real revelation. The real revelation is through the creation itself. But man is like the Rambam says, man sleeps. He's involved in Shion Tadeimu, he doesn't see it. So the revelation simply affects him in a way that it wakes him up. You see, the Kol Shofar Chozak Meod by Mamad HaSinai, the Kol Shofar wakes him up and it causes him to look. And when he starts studying the proper area in the proper manner, and he sees the creation, that's when the Gilui Shechina really gets place. That's what Chazal says. You know, find Malchish Tam Echun Alechem, but Baneh B'Shofar. That's the concept. There are many ideas in Shofar. Many ideas in Shofar. They one time couldn't do a shir and bring together all they did. But Shofar is a mitzvah that the Torah really went out of its usual way in mitzvah, because a mitzvah usually is a technical performance. But shofar, for instance, a shofar must be kofar. And the Rambam holds that if it's not kofar, it's not yotzer. So the idea of kofar is that a person in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu must be in a state of humility, okay? In a state of self-insignificance. And that's that's why the shofar must be kofar. Usually mitzvahs, you know, don't reflect such concept. And the shofar is akedas yitzchak. You see, usually a technical performance doesn't really involve direct association with certain philosophical ideas. But this mitzvah is different. This mitzvah really is different. The mitzvah of shofar is unique. And the and the reason is because shofar, if Yom Tshuva Yerachem, the Kedushas Yom is wrapped up in the shofar. Which Yom is up in the shofar? It's interesting. Rashi says on Zichron Tshuva, Rashi says Zichron Tshuva, it says on Shabbos. Right? Or the Chazal says on Zichron Tshuva, it's on Shabbos. Yes, so there's a question, say, how would it be possible, Torah saying Zichron Tshuva on Shabbos, but the Chachamim are the ones that said that you can't blow shofar on Shabbos. And the right thing, you can blow shofar on Shabbos. I think what Chazal is saying is that the Zichron Tshuva means that if there were no way, if there were no method through which you could make a legitimate reference to shofar, then they couldn't have abolished the shofar. Because the whole Kedushas HaYom is wrapped up in shofar. So that's why Chazal say that Zichron Shua is that even though you don't have the actual shofar, but since the shofar is a type of a mitzvah which has to do with ideas, so the Zichron Shua is the kingdom. I don't think Chazal meant that that's really what the pasuk means, but they meant from the term in the pasuk you could see that the Kedushas HaYom of Yom Shua will not be totally obliterated as long as you have the Malchus Zichron Shofar. Okay? That's what the Rav said, that shofar really is tefillah. Because you say, Kiyata Shemeko, shofar, mazin, shulein, namla. So you see that shofar is an unusual kind of mitzvah. So, okay, let me just get back to this Rambam first. The Rambam says that these four chatayim are such that anyone that does them, God does not give him the situation that will make it availability of shofar. I mean, why these four? So, what we said was that, you see, ordinarily, when the Chazal say that ordinarily when a person sins, everybody's a chavim. Inside of us, she has kavale achavim. There's no sin inside, but it's not a chavim. So, because the instinctual is part of our nature, and it's constantly active, and especially in social situations. So a person's always a chutz, that's a Lashon Hara, so difficult to avoid. But the point is, Chazal say that a person on Yom HaDin, on the open Yom HaDin, before God, so Chazal say that if a person would be honest and say to God, look, the Yetzer was too powerful, I was wrong, but I couldn't help myself. Chazal say, God would say, Papa. he meant to say it. But so the concept of being a chate doesn't necessarily mean the person is lost. I mean, because it's an interesting thing. These four chateim, it says Akhtan Shachuva, right? What about Gila Resh? It's one of the funny things. It seems that it does mention it. I think it would be the worst, right? But that's the famous story of David HaMelech. That they turned to David HaMelech and said, David, Abba, Ishish, Misaso, Bama. He said, yeah, you're right. Misaso, Bachanik, Yeshua, Rabba, Bama. But Malbin, the Rebbe, Rabbin, and Rebbe, Bama. So, see, you can't just measure the severity of an Avera by the Amish. Okay. But it's not such a simple matter. But why are these four unique? I think the reason why they're unique is that ordinarily, like I said, even if a person should do a terrible sin, a passionate error, Ashes, Isha, Rias, whatever. But there's always the excuse that the passion overpowered him. I mean, he was caught. The instincts are very powerful. But if a person is machtias a rabbit, it means he's not doing the hate. But this is already a systematized kind of a, he's taking a whole society and misleading them. That means you can't say that he just lost it, you know what I mean, in the passion of the moment. It means that this person has no idea what fate really is. So the concept of these four, that's why if you look at the four, you'll see each one of them shows you one thing, that the person does not have a proper understanding of what evil is, what fate is. That's the first one, not this around. The first one almost the same. Second one is where a person has a close friend that he really is loyal to, and this person he misleads. So how can you do that with someone that's there's a certain, in other words, the reason why there are four different chatoim is not because of the first three are practically the same, but they're different situations. In other words, if you're machtis a rabbin, that means you can't know what evil is, because how could you mislead such a group of people? I mean, it means the degree of the Avera is such that it reflects on the door. And the same thing is true with one person, but he's your best friend. I mean, you really value this person. So how can you lead them into chet? It means you have no concept of what chet is. And the third one is with a person's son, that they see their son and they don't want to get into a conflict with the son. Okay, it's difficult to get into a conflict, but if you really know what chet was, how can you let him do this? It was in their life. You see? And the fourth one is, again, a misconception. It's a childish misconception. and I'll do the sin on Yom Kippur, the children. Who's the person who's not a chayit? So therefore, the concept of being close to God, again, is not from God's standpoint, it's from our standpoint. That a person is distant from God insofar as they have erroneous notions. An erroneous idea of chayit makes a person distant from God in that realm, and therefore, God cannot relate to him, and the Ashgacha simply does not exist in that realm. That's why I said the person is completely remote. Okay. Whereas the concept of the Ashgacha is with the person constantly to lead him and guide him back to the Bala Tshuva. Is the question of why Tshuva is called returning. What do you mean returning? No one's born a tzaddik. The Rambam says that to be born a tzaddik would be like saying somebody's born a cotton. Can't be, because it requires a lot of skill and a lot of work. So wasn't he returning? Where's he returning? If the person that was that. What it means is, what the concept of tshuva means that to return could be a historical path that you're tracing, or return could be a logical path. Which means to say like this, that the instincts take a person and throw them into a different reality. The whole reality changes. And then they start operating in a false reality. So return means to return, come out of that, return from that reality, the false reality that you're in. When you return from the false, when you return from the false reality, you're in the true reality. Because we all start off in the true reality. We don't, there is no, when we start, it's a blank sheet. I mean, so you're in reality in some minute degree. I mean, there's nothing false yet. Once the person starts following the instincts and starts creating a world that doesn't exist and lives in that world, that they return from the reality which they created. Shuv Yisrael, Adar Hashem Lakach. Okay? That's what it means. Shuv Yisrael means return from reality and then Adar Hashem Lakach. Then once you do that, then you start the path towards HaKadosh Baruch. But the first process is the process of return from the world that you created. So you remove yourself from that world, because that's the false world. And then it's Adar Hashem Lakach. So insofar as a person has false notions, a person is removed from God. And if he's involved in Yisro HaTayim, the degree of the error which his soul embodies is such that God can't relate to him. So there can't be any availability. But did God change his Bechir, interfere with the process of Bechir? No. That he doesn't do. That's a person's extreme rush like that Paro. But otherwise he's able to reboot you in spite of the fact that he is so far gone in terms of his Chatan. There was one more thing that we mentioned in Sanko. Somebody asked about the Zephronos and the Akedas Yitzchak. Why the significance in the shofar of Akedas Yitzchak? So Akedas Yitzchak is okay, different. First of all, it's interesting to notice that the pasuk says in Vayom that you shouldn't learn what these nations do, the abominations of these nations. The Torah says, how terrible are their deeds, their actions. So the Torah says, even their sons and their daughters, they brought up a fire, consuming fire for their gods. So that's Joshua, like, is this what? That's exactly what God commanded Aram. Right? So the answer is that what the Torah means again is that what is an abomination? An abomination is a false notion concerning the Creator. That's an abomination. Abomination has nothing to do with disgust. Now, so somebody one time wrote an article when it came to homosexuality, the Torah used the Torah, so they said it's disgusting. But the Torah uses that, in many instances, essentially by Avodah Zarah, but he uses it by injustice as well. It says, you mean, Moses, etc., if a person is selling something in his false way to cheat, so it says, that's Torah, Hashem, Kolosi, El Kolosi, Allah. So the word abomination doesn't mean something which causes a reaction in a person of disgust. There's nothing to that. It's philosophically disgusting. But what it means is as follows. It means that why does the primitive man sacrifice a human being? The reason is because, if you ever read the literature about it, it's because the idea is that they're appeasing the gods. So they have an idea of a god that is in need, you see, and wants appeasement. And the human sacrifice, their children, that's the greatest thing they can do to appease the god. So the Torah says such an idea is an abomination. It's exactly the opposite thing. Idea of the true idea of the Creator. That's the idea of the Creator. God doesn't need anything. Doesn't need us. I don't know why Hashem Allah Patera Kolisi Nivra. And this is a totally distorted notion. That's why it's an abomination. But when Avraham Avinu went to be mocked with Yitzchak, it wasn't because he thought that Yitzchak is going to God needs Yitzchak. He knew the reason was, on the contrary, to demonstrate to the world that the reason why he has his system of ideas is not because he didn't have the character or the strength to be religious in the sense that society, the demands of the religion. Because there are people that say, Shlomo Avinu tells you that God doesn't need you. He tells you that because he can't do it. He's too weak. He's not able doesn't have the character to carry out the demands of the religion. So it's a cop-out, basically. So that's what Torah says, that Ati Adati, Ki Reel Kim Ati Lo Chasachtos Bin Chasachit from me. So Avraham Avinu showed the world that no, he can do it too. But his idea was not because God needs it. His idea was because this is Tikkun Olam. To Kiddushin Shemayim. Because a person has a responsibility to the Brios to demonstrate its true ideas. That's a different thing. So that really is the idea of the Akedah. But why do we mention the Akedah? Mention the Akedah for an important reason. Because in the Vaughan, there are conflicting Tzukkim. In certain Tzukkim, it says that Moshe Ben gives Musa, so he says, the Kaiser, you're nothing. And he says, lo merukhim mikol amim. It's not because you're not because you're a great nation in numbers, okay? Kiamshe orafata, you know, because you're a stiff-necked nation. But what does he say? He says that why? Then another place is kimi'avas Hashem eskim. So it's a contradiction. What does it mean? It means like this: kimi'avas Hashem eskim mishomos hashvur shemushba lavasef. It means to say that if you think that you have any inherent value because you're self making mistakes. It's only because of the others. If the others didn't exist, they'd be not. So it means when a person comes before God in Rosh Hashanah and places a petition before the Creator, it has to be based on the person's realistic standing. So that's why we ask God to remember the Akedah, which means to say, now we are asking in the schus of Avraham. What does it mean in the schus of Avraham? It means without Avraham we wouldn't be anything. But he set the path, and because of the fact that he taught us not to be able to overcome the emotion, the most powerful emotion, kavashet rachamav, lasas ritzoncha, to do that which is rational and which God's chachma dictates. So that's why God should remember Bar Yisrael, which means that that is what we have. We have the ideas that we receive because of Avraham Avinu. So if you wouldn't say that, it would be a false pretense. And before God's Achrayim, why? So, and it still demands that a person be totally honest and say which is true, which is not Avraham Yisrael Yaakov, we wouldn't be anything. That's what the Moshe Menuchin says in Vav. That's the Moshe Menuchin in Vav. So that's really the concept of the Akedah. Yes. I don't have that now. It's really two pesukim that contradict each other, and the third one gives an answer. The snakes in Moshe Zayin and Kassav Shlishi explain. It took me a while to find. Okay, but the last thing I say about the Akedah. Somebody asked a very good question about the Akedah. The question it raises is as follows. Why does it? It's very nice. And when Avraham was about to shecht his son, and then he asked God, he says, "What do you mean? What do you mean? You just told me how Leila Olah." So, by the way, you know, Chazal say that he was in a dilemma, because he was in a dilemma. So the dilemma was, as you said to me, "Kibbutz Chutikah Chazal," and now you say how Leila Olah. That's not possible. So the world understands it to be like, it's physically impossible. There's something deeper there. You see, take a look at in the Akedah. So what happened? So God told him, you know, Al Kishaf Yerchalana. Okay, the Malach told him, he's revelation, he had Nevuah. Malach means Nevuah. When Nevuah is Surah, that's not supposed to. So, what was next? The next thing it says, Vayiso Enav, Vayar, Vayimi Ayel Acha, Nechaz Basbach Batar. So he saw the aisle. Vayelach Avram, Vayikachas Aisle Tachas Bira. Vayelach Aisle Tachas Bira. Why did he? What did he have sex with? What did he use? Very question. That was a hot school looking. You know, one gave the shiny sheet. Yeah. Excellent question. Very good. My a neighbor of mine, hot school looking, and he just moved into vast next one. He's a little Kamachachim from Lakeview. So he asked this question. Excellent question. So the why do you have to do that for? It's an interesting thing. You see, the dilemma that Avraham Avinu had was really an intellectual one. It wasn't so much a problem of how's God going to work this out. It's not our concern how God's going to work. But the God in the Chaim Mason said work it out. But that's not the problem. The problem was yesterday you said Ki bi Yitzchak Yitkar L'Chazara, which means what? Which means that the only way that there will ever be a system that has the true ideas is through Yitzchak, because it must be that the people must relate to the others. Without the others, there's not going to be any emotional tie. Okay, so it's not going to work. So that was the dilemma. Yesterday you said Kibbi Yitzchak Yitkar L'Chazara. The only way to have Father Israel is through my offspring, through direct relationship. And the forefather has to be the founder. It has to be the same person, has the same identity as the forefather. You understand? The one that is the philosopher has to also be the progenitor. That's the idea. So it must be Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. So it says, and now you say Halel Olah. So how could it be? Only one theory could be right. Now you say Halel Olah, which means it's not necessary. It's not that he's going to have God change his mind. I mean, you see that the others were always by Yitzchak, by Yaakov, you know, it says, even though God gave him Avtacha, so still the world is still afraid. Because Avtacha, so not so easy to understand how Avtachas take place and how they work out. That doesn't mean that that wasn't the Kasha. Kasha was, theoretically, it doesn't work out. Either it's necessary for the nation to be identified, Avraham was saying to be identified with me, or if not, then that idea is wrong. So that was Avraham's original idea. The original idea was, he went around with the people and he was trying to teach the people, and he had a tremendous following. But God said, no, that's not good, that's temporary. The real following is going to be only from Father Israel. So it's a sociological idea. One is true, the other is true. Which one's right? So again, when he saw that Yitzchak was not going to be sacrificed in Olah, so then he said, okay, so really, what it means is that it will be through me, and that's the only way that part is wrong. So he took an aisle and he did shechita. He was makriv the aisle. Tachas Beno, because Chazal say that was Makom Hadassah, I should have passed it to you. Makom Amigdash. Makom Amigdash, so he says, so will be through me, so therefore let me be Makom this aisle, so whenever they do Avoda in the base of Amigdash, the idea of the Akedah will always be there. And the Rambam says, in Hilchos base of Chiru. Nukhus base of Kura, and Rami says the following. He says, Amisbeach, Mekomo, Mechuvam Biyasa. That is very exact, very precise. Where the Mizbeach? Ain Mishanin Osom come over Ola. We never change it. Shemena Zem Mizbach Ola Yisrael. And in the next sentence he says, Ubamigdosh Neka Yitzchak Avinu. Shemena. Alech B'chol Haram Oriya. You see? So the Akedah was in that spot. So the first Korban, that's what Avraham Avinu says. Oh, he says, now I see. He says, the idea really was that there should be identification with me. So therefore, what he did was, he took the ayah, was makrovit, so the Kodesh should know whenever they makrov kabonos, they should think of the, they should think of the Akedah. And it sounds like a drusha, but the truth of the matter is, it's not impossible. Why? It says like this. It says, Vayelach Avram, Vayisavim, and the Yarin, Alach, and Echaz, Basaf, like Bekanov, Vayelach Avram, Vayikachas, Ayo, Vayaleil, Ola, Tachas, Beno, Vayikra Avram, Shema, Makomahu, Ado Shem, Yira. Asher, Yoma, Hayom, Bahar, Hashem, Yira. That's what Chazal say. Hashem, Yira, Asher, Yoma, Hayom, Bahar, Hashem, Yira. Today, it means that this is the place that will be the Mikdash. That's the Har Hashem Yeloh, that God reveals himself on this Har. So he realized this was an opportunity that since the first theory was correct, that he has an opportunity here to do an action which will forever relate Klal Yisrael to this event at the, of the Akedah. That was, and that's the puzzle. Hashem Yom Hayom, what does Hashem Hayom mean in the future? Hashem Hayom means, it means after the Migdash. Hashem Yom Hayom, Bahar Hashem Yireh. It was Nevuah basically saying. Hashem Yireh, Hashem God will see, will eventually move this one. Hashem Yom Hayom, Bahar Hashem Yireh. Today, well, I think it's in Rashi. Hashem Yom Hayom, Shiyom Yilmei Adoros, Olav, Bahar Hashem, that's the basic Midrash. That's the Midrash. Hayom, Hayom, Masidim. Sorry? Okay. Yep. So, and then the Midrash had Hashem Yireh Akedah Zu, Mitzloach Yisrael B'chol Shana, Latzilim and Apranias. That's basically, he took the opportunity, so the ideas, that's why you say in Zechronos, you mentioned the Akedah. All right.